Previously on Matt Damon's We Fought a Zoo. Previously on Leonard Part 6, Part 2, : Cosby's Revenge. And finally, previously on Mr. Wintergreen's Wild Ride, the gang has arrived in town and are waiting for the train to show up. And it looks like deception might just be the name of the game. They've got a few ideas and a few leads kicking around about how they might sneak their way onto this train bound for the prison of Nur. And with that, that's about where we're at. So.
Okay. Everybody, what is our roles in this heist? Let's just lay out the heist plan really quick before it goes wrong.
You mean the plan that we don't really have? The plan that...
Yeah, the plan that we're making as we lay it out right now, heist style, Ocean's 11, let's go.
Well, we do have a plan. It's just more of like, it's whether or not our plan will be like a super success or just like a moderate success. I believe that it's going to be a success either way.
All right, like, but what am I supposed to do in the plan? And what are you going to be doing?
So to all of our listeners, I'm going to not use this voice.
No, right ahead, baby.
So to all of our listeners, we had some technical difficulties in the last episode. You didn't miss like a ton. You missed some good jokes, but if you want to hear those jokes and have a jolly good time, head on over to our Patreon.
If you want to hear 4/5 of those jokes.
Yes.
AKA, yes. My audio got fucked.
Bobby's audio fucked up the whole shebang. So yeah, sorry, yeah. Everybody. But we're here now, but let us recap. Either in or out of character, I just want to remember what the plan was that we sort of didn't really fully come up with.
The thing is, we didn't really have one. There was thing about maybe not having our bard use his persuasion, but having our barbarian dressed as a fucking clown do persuasion.
We're not doing
to
that
get
one.
On. No, the thing was, if I remember correctly, it was, we're going to split the party, and some of us are going to dress up as guards, and some of us are going to be clowns, and everything's going to work great, and then I was like, we're all going to fucking die. We're going to die, and that's all I remember.
Okay, well,
at least if we die now, we made it 45 episodes in, you know?
It's like, a good run.
We had a good run.
Yeah, we made it pretty far.
Well, a run.
Okay, so I believe the plan was Herman is going to be dressed as a clown and is going to distract the guards so that Kitty can break in and steal some guards' outfits.
Yeah,
right.
Herman's going to give a stellar performance. I don't even need to give him an assist. That's how
you
good
should
it's
give
be.
Him an assist. It's your job. You have bardic
inspiration. You're literally a support class character. You're there to support. And he'll go, but I have some levels in fighter. I'm here to fight. Sorry, that's my treble impression.
Listen, this is a comedy podcast. It's not about min-maxing.
Yeah, he's a performer. That's all that matters.
It's about making stupid decisions so people can laugh at us.
I think, not to interject too much, I think it was also discussed you were going to try to do some sort of Star Wars scenario. Some interstellar conflict scenario where some people were guards and some people were prisoners.
Yeah,
that's
was
the splitting
discussed.
The party, and I'm concerned about that.
I don't know if that's still on the table, but I wanted to make sure that...
If there's enough uniforms for us to all be guards, let's all be guards.
See, but here's the flaw in that plan. If we're doing it that way, then we have to convince the prisoners to go along with it. If we just open the cell doors, they're going to be like, huh? But we have to get
it
them
worked
back.
For Luke Skywalker. It can fucking work for us. Some of us might be a little too fuzzy or a little too tall to be a stormtrooper. Okay?
Okay. You know what? You're right. The tall one and the fuzzy one who don't have magic can get thrown in as prisoners into the anti-magic prison. The ones with magic, we should not be prisoners.
Seems like a good plan.
Or maybe we should be the prisoners because it makes most sense that we could use magic to then prove that we are also prisoners.
Something we did learn that is not recorded, or partially not recorded, is that inside the cells you cannot use magic.
Yeah, so we can't do our stuff. So that would be bad.
So we don't want you inside a cell, or else all you have is those levels of fighter, and we know how well those work.
Really, so good.
Do they though?
Okay. So here's the plan. Here, I think this is the real plan.
Okay, Ocean's 11. We're laying it out.
Ocean's 11. We're gonna get in there. We're gonna be dressed as guards, and then, well, if you're just inside the cell, you can't do magic. But if you're outside of the cell, we could do magic. So that's actually a good point. So here's what I think we should do. Herman's going to dress as a clown, obviously.
Already
stellar
there.
Costume.
Obviously
by the way.
Important Thank to you. The plot.
And then after that, Kitty's going to steal some costumes for us. We're going to all be dressed as guards. We're going to get on the train. We're going to get to the prison. We have to figure out how to open the cells and then subsequently convince the prisoners to join us, which I'll take that on because I'm pretty good at persuasion, not going to lie. And then. I mean, after all, I did convince my cat to go into a little bag, you know.
You did
I mean,
do that, and that's impressive.
Okay.
So, and then after that, we're going to get everybody back on the train. We're going to hijack the train, and then we're going to head straight to New Bastillon. We're going to fuck their shit up, and the podcast is over.
Okay, that's great. Kitty and Herman. I had a moment where I tried to call you Treble and I was like, that's not correct. What do y'all want to do? Because we could have you pretend to be guards or you could pretend to be prisoners. Sort of, that's up to you. I would like to not be a prisoner, because I'm no good at the lock picking and also... I have a lot of magic. That's mostly what I do. So what do you want to do?
I am just dying to perform. I've been working on my clown act.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
No, I mean after
Put
that.
Put me in, coach.
after the clowning, do you want to be in jail? Or guard?
I feel like I'd make a pretty good guard just because my size. I'd kind of throw off that menacing guard vibe. Not
okay,
my face
great.
So much, but my size.
That seems good. Kitty, you want to be in jail?
If that's
Would
what
you
we're
rather
doing...
be a guard? Because I think you got options.
You can be whatever you put your mind to, Kitty.
Here's
you can be
my
a
thing.
Prisoner
is
or
if
prison
Herman,
guard.
Herman, you're proving that every day of my life. So
thank you.
Here's the thing. If Kitty is going to be the one in prison, everyone's gonna know that she's a narc, because nobody would think that she'd be in prison. However, maybe putting somebody in prison who's already been in jail before, you know, kind of knows the lingo and the.
I would like to point out that the day that we all got stuck in this mess, I literally murdered a man.
Yeah, Kitty could do
my,
a good job
with my own claws. So.
She's pretty good at, like, lockpicking and stuff, so she could do a good job. But, Treble, are you just dying to be a prisoner? Because we can stick you in a jail cell if you want.
I am dying to not put him in a place where he can use his actual most useful skills.
I think that's up to Treble.
I just started picturing Red trying to pretend to be a prisoner and then doing like a prison mic bit. The worst part about prison was the Dementors.
Oh no.
I mean, this is D&D world. There could be something like a Dementor in the prison.
Okay, but here's the big question: is what is going to need more persuading, the guards or the prisoners?
Also,
I agree.
Okay,
I do need to be persuading.
So who needs to be persuaded? So part of the, back to Bobby talking now. Part of the other discussion we had is, are we trying to derail the train and cause a distraction that way?
No, we're trying to
Or are we taking the train all the way into prison?
We're trying
to take it into prison. I'm going to ride on top of the train like the Doof Warrior and blow that horn.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I think Henry the DM also had that question.
So that we can find out what the fuck's going on there and then take the train back out of the prison after we,
kill everyone. I thought we were just trying to just fully break it open, like break it wide open. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, we need to get all the way to the prison so we can break it open and then have a way of getting out with a bunch of people.
But I think the reason that we were thinking earlier to derail the train and not ride it all the way in is so that we could get some of the guard populace out of the prison so that we weren't fully fighting everything right away.
Well,
it would be
easier
to break people out.
If we break people out, I'll do this in character. Y'all, if we break people out, they can help us fight guards. I mean, they probably are mad about being there. And,
yeah, and we're also going to be in guards' costumes, so I feel like
we
maybe
can take them
off.
I know how to take clothes off.
Red, I don't want to see that until I have to.
I'm just saying, I can change clothes.
You can wear your regular clothes underneath, even.
Yeah. I don't gotta be a guard the whole time.
You guys, if movies have taught me anything, we just have to sneak into the prison as guards, and then there's gonna be a big red button that unlocks all the doors. You just pretend that you accidentally lean up against it, and you're like, oh no, what happened? We should get out of here. And then we just walk out with the rest of the guards. Easy peasy.
Yeah, okay.
I like that.
Seems
that's good.
Good.
Yeah. That's
the
plan.
Fingers crossed for that big fucking button, baby.
Okay.
We don't really know how to break people out until we get there and see what the fuck it looks like.
Yeah, I think we can come up with a plan, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to be flying by the seat of our pants here.
Technically, none of us need to be prisoners then, because we're going in as, like, new, fresh guard.
Are they going to trust us if we go up to them dressed as guards and say, we're going to get you out of here, trust us. They're not going to trust us.
Trevor, we got to take the guard costume off when we're done with it.
Wait, so we're letting somebody out for someone else, right? Who are we helping?
We were gonna get a snake guy out, but we were mostly just going.
Everybody.
If I remember correctly, we were just going there to fuck shit up. Like, we were just there to everybody out because it's like
a
secret
specific
bad
snake.
It's like a magic Auschwitz situation, and we need to get everybody out. We're the allied forces, and we're getting them out.
Yeah, but there was a prisoner that was like friends with our snake
pal from
the Blood Drinker Social Club.
We're getting out a specific snake and also everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking out loud here. If we're trying to convince the prisoners that we're on their side, what was the name of our contact from the Blood Drinker Social Club?
That's a great question.
But I don't know if it's about that guy. Let's check the notes, Bob. We still have Kaizo Jakes, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaizo's here.
Yubatsume!
Yubatsume.
Wants Aquarius Norton dead, who is in the prison. Okay, so we weren't there to break that guy out. We were there to kill that guy. And we were like, we don't really know how we feel about that. We were there mostly. No, Yubatsume wants Aquarius Norton dead.
All right, breaking out a guy must have been one of the Hoof Coalition things.
I think it was that, and we were just mostly there to break everybody out.
Yeah.
Okay,
I took notes.
Here's what we need to do. Here's the plan. I think if we're going to have to kill this guy, which I definitely want to kill this guy, I don't want the Blood Drinker Social Club to be pissed at us. So I think if we kill this guy and then break everybody out of jail, that's probably going to be best, yeah?
So we why don't we just break him out and he'll probably just get killed on the way out?
I think if Treble wants to be a prisoner, if Treble wants to be a prisoner, we should just let him be a prisoner. He'll be fine.
I will say, if we kill a prisoner in front of other prisoners, they're probably not going to like that.
We don't know this guy. Maybe they'll be happy. They'll be like, oh shit, that guy boy getting street cred.
I feel like this derailed everything we were already going for. Oh god.
I don't think there's any reason to talk about it anymore. We're good. Let's do it.
Oh, well, no. Real quick thing. Do you remember what the fuck these acorns do from your patron?
I think they grow a whole fucking tree.
I mean, you plant them and you get Gerald's Boon.
Yeah,
what
I just
does
have
that
a
mean though.
I don't know. I just have a note that says Sir Gerald Boon Acorn.
Yeah, he didn't really tell you the exact nature of what the boon is.
Okay, so cool. If shit's going down, I'm sticking this acorn in the ground. Got it.
There you
okay.
go. Yeah.
Treble's gonna stick his acorn in the ground right now.
No,
no. What?
Which takes some doing because you're in a hotel.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to plant it in the ground.
Great. All right, I'm going to stand next to him and watch.
I'm going to have like I said last time, my toe beans are literally just always rested on my forehead in a sign of defeat.
So you do actually go and plant it?
Oh, God.
Okay. For a moment, nothing happens. And then, in the spot where you planted the acorn, a tree with, like, deep, well, almost enveloping black bark rises. And this tree has no leaves. It's about 3.5 by 3.5, 4 feet tall or so. Just has branches. And as you're looking at it, a face materializes in the trunk of the tree and kind of squishes its eyes together, looks around and then looks at you and asks,
Yes, what boon do you crave?
Like, make requests.
Like...
I have a limited selection of boons.
Yeah, the tree joke.
So I can pick like anything?
Within a limited selection.
I like this tree.
Okay, so could I like know the selection or do I can I just start listing stuff off?
I can tell you, I suppose. Do you want me to tell you right now?
Yeah, that
wait, does that
that's
count
kinda
as
what
the
I was
boon?
Hoping for.
Because we don't want the boon to be telling
the boon
everything.
Is to finding out what the boons are.
Yeah, but we don't want that.
That's like the... Oh, God.
Instructions
this boy
unclear.
His patron is a fae. He's nervous.
Well, the thing is, all I'm thinking is like, has anybody seen the D&D movie yet? Where
no.
they're asking dead people questions and they keep fucking up. So they have to keep digging up dead people. So I'm like, we're gonna get through all these fucking boon acorns and we're only gonna get one actual boon because we're gonna have to fucking keep planting. Okay, anyway. Because we're gonna keep fucking it up. Anyway, it's a good movie. Go see it. Hashtag not spawn.
Not spawn.
Sponsored.
Yeah,
presumably.
With a W. Yeah, no, it's funnier if it's spawn. With a W.
No, I was birthed directly from someone's head. I was not spawn.
So anyway, what about these boons?
Would you like to know more about the boons?
As long as it doesn't expire my boon, then yes.
Okay. Well, you may choose an object, preferably an instrument or weapon, between the lengths of 2 to 3 feet, and at the conclusion of this sentence, or whenever you choose it, I will alter its appearance and become that weapon. That is option one. Option two. If you need a door opened, I or me will tell you what you need to do to open it.
That's useful.
And finally, option three. If you choose this option, then the tree that you see before you will reduce in size to a small, almost little pile of tree dust. Imbibing a little bit of this tree dust will protect you from any foodborne illnesses or pathogens for at least 24 hours.
All or right. There's this beautiful dining set from Broy Hill.
And a bunch of Ginsu knives.
I was hoping you were going to just say just a pile of like sawdust that you could blow into an enemy's eyes.
Yeah, you could just like have it.
Pocket sand.
I think I like option number two.
Option number two. Alrighty. If that's your final selection, I'll begin to alter appearance now.
That is my final answer, Bob.
Alrighty, Jimmy, show him what he's won. It's an all-expenses-paid trip to Arizona. You didn't want to go there, but it's paid now. No. And with that, the tree alters shape, and instead of the pile of sawdust or the weapon, what lies before you is a simple hand mirror inlaid in hard black wood. And what you would do is you would simply hold the mirror up facing the door or lock. And you would hear an audio cue.
Okay.
Trouble's going to put that in his pocket and save that for later. Wait, does this expire?
I guess you'll find out.
Trouble's going to remember this and put it in his pocket. There's probably going to be a door we're going to have to open. I'm banking on that. So... Okay, we had like 6 hours, I believe in the last episode we had like 6 hours till the train got here, and it's probably been, what, like 5 hours?
No, we definitely debated for 5 hours.
We talked.
Yeah, I do need to go get those fucking, we do need to get the guard uniforms before the train gets here.
This is true. You should get that.
All right, so we're gonna head towards where we were instructed by the bartender in the last episode.
If you want to hear what happened in the last episode, head on over to our Patreon, and it's all available there.
And then we're going to, just go get those guard uniforms. And Herman's about to do some clowning.
Herman's starting stretching to prepare for his performance.
Okay. So you kind of go at an off hour because there's really nobody around.
Can I scout around the building, like see where the entrances are and stuff? Like,
yeah, sure.
Like, so, is there a front door, back door? Is there windows? How tall is the building?
The building that you're in now?
No, the one that I gotta go steal fucking.
Oh, the one that you gotta go steal from. It is a single. No, that tracks. It's a single story building, and it's built onto the platform of the train. As near as you can tell, there look to be two doors, one in front, one in back. And there's one window by the front door, but the rest of it is completely windowless.
There's no like back windows or anything.
Cool. No, it is just a storage room, and this doesn't seem like the sort of administration that invests very much in employee happiness and being able to see daylight, so.
Laughs the person whose desk is in the middle of the office and has no windows.
Oh.
Anywhere.
Sadness.
It sucks, but. Anyway. Okay. I will, when this clown town shit starts going down, I'm gonna go hang out by the back door. stealth back Wait, there.
Didn't you say no one's around? Can we just walk in and get the uniforms?
I don't want to just walk in because I feel like there might be people. So inside, there's no one outside right now, but there might be people inside. Remember, we're not investing in our employee happiness, so they're probably in a sad, dark room.
True. So enough. Reiterate, no one's around?
No one that you can see on the platform right now. Yeah.
I try and open the door.
I'm going to the back door.
The door opens.
I thought that what the about the back door? Distraction. It also opens. To be
great.
Right
I'm gonna
now.
Go in that one. Can I roll a stealth?
Yes, you
trying
can.
Trying to go in the back door.
What happened to the clown distraction?
I don't know, but I rolled an 18 for stealth.
It's almost as if the hinges and the doorknob were like greased because you make no noise entering the employee happiness area.
I walk in, and as I walk in, I go, "Hey, I'm here for Timmy's birthday party."
So as you walk in, the place is not totally deserted, for there is one alone train person sitting by himself. He appears to be eating a sack lunch. He has a long, or I should mention, an elderly dwarf. Who has an eye patch and like a train conductor's hat. And he appears to be eating a bologna sandwich. And you can see, actually, go ahead and roll perception.
That's going to be 11. No, 10.
Actually, I'm realizing now that that doesn't really matter because there's not enough. Yeah, go ahead.
Establish, are Treble and I both outside of this area?
I think we're inside.
Yeah, did you guys walk in with him? Because you didn't come with me, I wouldn't have let you.
I didn't walk in with him. I think I'm keeping watch, like, a little ways away to see if anyone else starts coming this way.
Treble would have gone in, definitely, with Herman.
Okay. I'm just keeping watch.
Okay. Well, that kind of derailed me. Give me a second.
Okay, so as Herman walks in, I go, dang it, there's no kids here again. Those freaking teenagers keep pranking us, booking fake kids' birthday parties. Sorry, how's it going, man? And I say hi to the old man in there.
Kid, there hasn't been a kid in this town for 60 years.
Oh, wow, That's weird. I'm going to be honest. That seems strange that there's no kids.
That seems cursed.
You're telling me, son. Well, anyway, you look really dressed up and stuff, so that's cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I try really hard. So, I mean, I'm here already. This is my manager, and I point at Treble. I guess since we're already here. Do you want to see some tricks? Do you want a little show?
Well, as you can see, I'm very enthralled with this bologna sandwich. And I was just talking to my friends here, and he gestures to the empty seats around the table. And you can now see that placed on each of those seats is a different vegetable.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
This Clearly is SpongeBob you got a lot of stuff. When he lives at home and he's got a penny and a potato chip as a best friend.
Clearly you got a lot of stuff going on. I like lean down to him and I like signal Kitty over his shoulder to like start stealing uniforms while I talk to him.
You know, it's a difficult business to be in, being a conductor for a prison. I always say all aboard, and they always say, yeah, I would hope they're all aboard. Anyway.
Yeah, I imagine that joke gets pretty old. And I mean, that's coming from a guy who does jokes professionally, because I'm a clown. I'm a professional clown. That's what I am. So, So who are your friends here? Start pointing at the vegetables.
Well, he points to a cabbage. He's like, well, that's Melvin. And that, he says, pointing to a bunch of carrots, that's Percy. And, of course, I couldn't not tell you about Karen. And he points to maybe a turnip or a beet. You're not really sure which.
I mean, Herman's definitely not sure which, because he's never seen a turnip or a beet.
I'm so upset about this old man. This is the saddest thing that's ever happened. This has big, like, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 energy.
See, all my... Has anybody ever heard of the video game Cooking Companions?
Oh, I can't say I have.
It's fucked up, but part of the mechanic of the game is that you have little friends that are, like, vegetable, like, a talking turnip and potato and stuff. The game devolves into a whole thing about cannibalism, but you don't realize that until later. But all I can think of is, like, talking to your vegetable friends, and then this guy's gonna kill you guys and eat you. So
spoilers for this cooking friend game, I guess.
Yeah.
So you say you're a clown, huh? And that's your day job?
Yep. I've been clowned for years. Name's John Wayne Gacy.
Mm-mm.
Well, son, normally I'd tell people not to quit their day job, but... Well, I suppose you shouldn't either. Anyway,
I appreciate the interesting feedback.
Well, Trouble can tell that this guy is, like, definitely not all there. So he's gonna kind of, you know, do the old shuffle around the room, you know, hands in the pockets, just like, oh, that's nice. And he's, like, signaling to base to, like, look for anything that might be helpful. And he's like, okay. Oh, look at this painting over here. And
he goes over. Go ahead, and if you're gonna do that, go ahead and roll investigation.
Oh, well, that's not gonna do anything. That's a... Oh, an 11?
Well, it certainly looks like a room.
What's Kitty doing this whole time?
I'm stealing...
Grabbing the uniforms, presumably.
Looking for uniforms, one for all of us, and one for Kaiso Sose.
So more specifically, how's that going? How much longer
Kitty,
do I
go
have
ahead
to
and
talk
roll
to
investigation
the
as well.
Man in the world?
Well, I rolled a natural 20. Let me add my investigation to that. Just a moment.
No, you're good. That's
that'd be a 29.
You find nothing. No, you find
there's not a single fucking thing here.
He is sitting in an empty room talking to vegetables by himself. No, you find like a whole rack of uniforms. They're kind of like they have like the light blue shirt, the navy pants. And they also come with those cool, well, not really cool. They come with those cop hats, with like the little badge thing in the brim. So you got that.
While I'm looking around, are there any documents like saying like, are there some stinking badges or something to prove that besides these, it would look like we are official?
There are some badges that are attached to lanyards with red cords around them. What you notice, though, is that all of the name tag areas of those badges are blank.
Convenient.
There is also what would appear to be a Sharpie. No, what would appear to be a pen or, like, chalk that you could write your name in there. Should you desire to.
While I'm doing my very sneaky looking around, is there like a list of names of people who should be here?
Yes, as a matter of fact. There is a freight manifest, which is kind of tacked to a bulletin board next to the back door. On it, there's a list of names for rail engineers who are working today. and there's three names on that list.
Great.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm just taking the list.
Are you looking at it first, or are you just grabbing it and
I'm just going to grab it right now, and I'll figure out what names to put in after we're not actively distracting someone.
Okay, fair enough. Now, to come back to the sad man for a moment, at this point, well, actually, even before I do that, on the very furthest, threshold of your hearing, you hear the sound of a train whistle. And at this point, the dwarf in front of you is like, well, I guess I reckon then that train's about 4 miles out. I just have enough time to finish my bologna sandwich. I was gonna have my dessert, and he pulls out a can of baked beans. But I guess that will have to wait.
This is so you.
I never get to eat my baked beans, you see.
No one, I feel like this joke is just targeted to me from Henry. Thank you.
I mean, that's too bad. Are you the conductor though, right?
Well, son, I don't conduct too much anymore. I was involved in a tragic flashback incident.
Tragic flashback.
I was involved in a terrifying cutscene. And now I can't. Unfortunately, son, they don't allow conductors that only have one of these. And he taps one of his eyes. The eye that doesn't have a patch. So. So now, unfortunately. You see, that's what I said. I said those ableist fucks.
Response to the person who's sneaking around in the background.
Yeah, no. So nowadays I mostly do engine maintenance.
I see. Because
of the time the engines need the maintenance.
Well, hey, don't sell yourself short. Without you, the train wouldn't go anywhere, right? If you didn't keep that engine running, you're an important part of the team.
You know, you're absolutely right. And if you think about it, without me, the train wouldn't even be running. They need me to keep it going.
Exactly. So really, if you wanted to eat your baked beans and then go take care of train stuff, they wouldn't be able to stop you. You're in charge of your own destiny.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's all coming together for me. You've given me a lot to think about, Clown Man.
I'm glad I could help. What was your name again?
Oh, I've never had one.
Okay, well, it's nice to meet you anyways. Nice to meet all your
friends. Well, you were nice enough. I'll let you know. I'm Terry.
Terry. It's nice to meet you, Terry.
Yeah, nice to have, met you of sorts. And, you know, keep at that clowning. If you keep at it, I'm sure a rodeo will want you in no time.
Thanks, I appreciate that. We're both going to do great. We're going to do great things, Terry, you and me. Straight to the top.
The thing is, actually, that would be a great job for Herman as a rodeo clown.
Yeah, he would crush it. All right, Herman's so at this point,
game, happily ever after, is being a rodeo clown, actually.
At this point, does Kitty have the supplies? Is she working her way back out the back door?
I mean, you've definitely had enough time to get all the stuff, so
there's nothing else interesting that I should grab or that I think I might need.
There is a list. Well, there's a thing on the piece of paper that you grabbed that would fall into that.
Right.
That you already took. But aside from that, no.
I didn't figure it, since this is an unsecured building.
This is an unsecured train conductor lounge.
Cool. I'll then head out the back door.
All right. So
I will say one more thing on behalf of Terry. He gets up and he like takes the remnants of his sandwich and he puts them into a garbage can, and he goes and he grabs a tool belt, which has like all of the typical engineering tools that you actually, I guess none of you would really be familiar with trains. Basically just a bunch of heavy tools necessary for working on like a locomotive boiler. And as he's doing that, he's like, well, you know, it's the darndest thing. We're supposed to have, and I shouldn't even tell you this, but I think they're doing some sort of prisoner transfer today. And I'm kind of surprised. Usually there's more guards for things like this, but maybe they just felt real safe knowing that there was a qualified clown in the area.
I would just like to point out that my mascot for my school growing up was the train men. We were the locomotives, the Laurel locomotives, and I lived in a train town, so I actually probably might know what some of the tools are. I just needed to point that out. Continue on with that, Terry.
See, that's cool and good to know.
Sure.
The train men.
Yeah, the Laurel locomotives and the train men. Because we were just called the train men, but the girls' teams used to be called before the 90s were the Dieselettes. Dumb shit.
Dieselettes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. They didn't just make a neutral term like train people instead of train men.
Nope.
It had to be Dieselettes. Interesting.
Yep. Anyway, let's learn more about Terry's sad life.
No, let's not.
Okay, I'll tell you, that's very interesting about the prisoner transfer. I mean, I don't really care because I'm a clown. That kind of thing doesn't really interest me, but other people might find it interesting. Anyway, have a good one. Take it easy, pal. And just finger guns, and I walk out backwards really awkwardly.
Okay.
That was great.
Treble, do you do anything? Or do you just follow behind Herman?
I'm going to follow behind Herman. I'm trying not to draw too much attention to myself just because of what we're about to do. So I'm just kind of keeping back a little bit.
Okay. Good deal. Well, you have successfully bewildered an elderly train employee. So that's good. So what do you guys want to do? I guess disperse the uniforms for one.
Yeah, and I want to. I also do want to point out that I did get long ones for Kaizo, so that it covered his non-existent legs. Like long,
okay.
Like make sure that I got long pants.
Because very nice.
I just remembered that motherfucker don't have no legs. He just has magic legs.
He does. Which sort of preempted me because I was going to bring that up this episode. But yeah, that,
I mean, we don't know what kind of people they hire for train security. Maybe Kaizo's a diversity hire.
It seems like this place isn't really into diversity hires. If they made train engineer who just lost an eye not be a conductor anymore, they're
and
able
it's a prison,
as fucks.
So.
No, also prisons suck.
Anyway,
they do.
Let's get them uniforms.
Disperse the uniforms and then look at more closely at that piece of paper now that we're not entertaining Terry's sad life.
I take the
For our
Terry.
Listeners at home, Terry will return because Terry is an idea,
Terry
more than just
is,
a character.
Terry is all of us, really.
He's me, he's you, he's all of us. So what you have is, in addition to the duty roster for train engineers and guards on duty, you also have a list of passengers, not prisoners, mind you, but passengers that are arriving on today's train, along with their profession. Go ahead.
Anything that piques my interest in that regard.
Yes, there are a few things. Listed among the train's passengers is Dr. Jameson Vauban, who is listed as a turtle wizard and doctor of medicine. I can I can post the name and the thing afterwards, just so that everybody has it.
We got it. Dr. Turtle, Medicine Wizard.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. all my 1950s generation are going to get that joke. Yeah, no, I don't know. Following that are listed Dr. Vauban's bodyguards. There is an Arkan Blacktide.
Jesus Christ, these names.
I do my best.
I know, Arkan Blacktide, okay.
It's a great bodyguard name.
Who is a Triton warlock. And then following that, the only other bodyguard listed for him is a hobgoblin fighter named Seki. There are two other passengers of note, and these do not have bodyguards. There is a Dwargar artificer named Hadsdribble. And I will just straight up post that name, because that's hard to spell for me, and I'm reading it. So, here.
Oh, that's not how I spelled it.
Well, fine. You keep your spelling, then. That's how I spelled it.
Oh, I know. No, I spelled it H-O... So, it's guys, it's like real fun fantasy spelling. I spelled it H-O-B-D-R-I-B-B-L-E.
Perfect.
Hobdribble. That's what I heard.
Hobdribble. Yeah, that's perfect. Additionally... Well, listeners. So fun fact, it's a historical reference because Hadsdribble was the brother of Hannibal of Carthage.
Oh, look at that.
It's not just Henry, a show about wild. Family. It's a show about learning, too.
And you can't fucking copy. Oh, there we go.
You're such a cool and he was nerd.
He was a Dwargar what?
A Dwargar artificer.
Okay.
And finally, listed there is a chaplain of sorts, who is listed as... where'd it go? Sir Harquin Grendelsbane.
Wait a second. We know a Grendelsbane, don't we? That's not...
You know two of them, in fact. Yeah.
Wasn't one of them your parole officer?
Less of a parole officer and more of a sworn enemy sort.
So yeah, your parole officer.
How many of those you got, Treble?
Well, there's Steve and Victoria.
And Giles. We met Giles just a week ago. And by week ago, I mean like, what, 7 hours ago in game?
Just about.
So, I'd say about four or five.
Four or five sworn enemies. All right. I'll work my way up there.
Who was the other Grendelsbane we met?
So, when you went to the arena in Kuru, one of the arena fighters was Sir Basil Grendelsbane.
That's right. Prolific family.
Prolific family, and yeah.
When I see chaplain, does that make me think of the Abbey, like that kind of chaplain?
Not really. It could also be just like the prison chaplain, not necessarily connected to the Abbey, just like a general religious person.
I'm still wary and think they might be part of the Abbey because this is the Abbey's secret prison, so.
Yes, and I'm realizing now I neglected to include one more person. And this name would be somewhat familiar. There is a Warforged Ranger named Lampire Skiara, also listed on this train.
Is that the one we have business with?
It is.
We have had business with
Indeed.
This man.
Yes, that is the person.
Was it the one with, like, that had the tank?
It was the like, one that had all the
on swarm. His back, yeah. He had the swarm of fireflies.
Yeah, didn't I like fucking murk them or something? Like,
you you did shoot him and he did fall off a roof, but yeah, there is
much like John Wick. He's fuck fine.
Me. God. but he might remember me. That's a problem.
You also may have given him amnesia for falling off the roof.
Maybe.
So.
If we're lucky. Toe beans crossed, everybody. Hopefully that fall really knocked out his memory circuit.
Really fucked him up good. He's become a pacifist now.
Oh no.
There's also written in the margins of that paper at the very bottom, somebody has scrawled, usual security measures apply.
So speaking of being recognized, Herman puts on one of the guard uniforms and takes one of the name tags and writes Herman Cranberry on it.
And then Kitty immediately takes it away from him and rubs his name out and goes, no! No, bad!
Do you then write no bad into the name field?
Thinking about it, no, we're going to have some kind of like fake names, y'all.
Oh yeah, good idea.
Not only will you, okay, I'm gonna go out of character for a second and metagame this a little bit. Not only should you have different names, it might even be fun for you to have different accents as well.
Fuck you, you know. No. I only have one accent and barely even that.
You mean
yeah, you're right, have a nice day. No, I can't.
What a loving couple.
All right, Herman raises his name and puts Rex, Texas.
Okay, actually, that's great, and I wish I had used that for a character.
Rex, Texas.
Rex, Texas.
Treble is going to write Giles Wintergreen.
That's nice. Good.
That is pretty good. I like that. Okay.
What is Kitty write? I'm still thinking.
Let me look that list of people. Is there anyone that is listed as security on there? On that list?
Yes, personnel? In fact. Yeah, hold on. Let me...
Just pick one.
I have a lot of names in here, so I've got to kind of scroll down a little bit.
Okay, great.
There is a guard listed as Rowena Roy Dark.
Great.
That sounds like a warrior cat's name for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll totally fit. Red is gonna write blue on his.
Oh my god. Okay.
I love
it. It's the sigh of resignation that happens every time something like this happens.
Oh man, what a... It's okay. We got a wide spread. I like the callback to Giles Wintergreen. I like the.
You're just trying to get him murked like in case, like if you yeah, if that's 100%. That guy's gonna go down later.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. It's a good plan.
It's a very good plan.
It's actually extremely smart and excellent.
I love red. Just picking another color. That's so delightful.
Yeah, I do like that. So with your name tags filled out and your uniforms done, as you're doing this, Kaizo comes up to you and seeing that you're all arrayed like guards, it's like, well, I'm glad you took my advice.
Sir, I also, procured you, your own vestiges. Here you go.
Well, this is exceedingly kind. I did not ask you to do this, and you did it anyway. Very generous. A moment, please. And he takes from his belt a flask of pulsing purple liquid. And he says to you,
Whatever you see, whatever you hear next, do not be alarmed. And he gets into kind of a lotus position, and he takes a swig of his drink. And I suspect this is a voice I'll have to record separately, just so it doesn't fuck up the audio. So you hear this deep, bass, infernal voice conversing with Kaizo. And you hear him saying, "Shut up, demon! You have borrowed them for too long, and now I need them back." More conversing. And then you see his legs start to rematerialize.
What the fuck?
This is amazing. I just leaned in closer to my mic so I could quietly say, "This is amazing.
This is amazing. What's going on with this light?"
The other thing that you notice, since he's in the middle of switching outfits, you notice that there are you've noticed a ton of wounds on his body already, and you've noticed that his legs are missing. As he drinks this liquid and has this conversation, parts of his body also begin to glow. And you realize that all of the areas that are glowing would also correspond to wounds that he has.
When Herman sees his legs grow back, he turns to Red and goes, "Holy shit, is he the Little Mermaid?"
I have never met a mermaid. I don't know.
We've met close enough to mermaids, though. We've met a lot of tritons.
Tritons don't got tails.
Some could. You don't know their lives.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
We ruined this cool transformation sequence.
Yeah, we did.
It's fine. The last thing I will say regarding the cool transformation sequence is that Kaizo is an orc. Kaizo has brown eyes. And when he gets up from his lotus position to turn around to face all of you, he opens his eyes, and his eyes are glowing purple.
Ooh.
And he looks directly into your eyes, Herman, for just a moment. And I'm going to need you to make a charisma save.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
We're having a moment. I'm
assuming
I didn't,
yes,
I didn't do it.
Moment.
I got a 8.
Oh, that's no good. Charisma save is not a good thing to fail.
You are filled with a sense of profound dread. And for the foreseeable, let's call it an hour, you are not able to directly look at Kaizo without feeling this pit of coldness in your stomach.
Okay, Herman's a very sad clown guard now.
secondarily, and all of you would be able to hear this, because Kaizo's still facing the group, you hear this deep, infernal voice again, and it appears to be coming from Kaizo, but his mouth is closed.
It's coming from inside the house.
And you hear,
I will provide you assistance. We need each other for now.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Dial M for Magic. Our cast, as always, was Jordan Fugit as Treble, Dan Rogland as Red, Nathan Pierce as Herman Cranberry, Bobby K. Kuffner as Kitty, and the DM was me, Henry Rogland. As always, we're grateful for our listeners, and we thank you for joining us on the journey so far, and for the many, many journeys still to come. If you'd like to listen to upcoming episodes early, as well as get some fun bonus content, be sure to find us on Patreon.